away the phone, he said. But what about here, I said. This. Yes, here, he said. This. Gat was my love. My first and only. How could I let him go? He was a person who couldn't fake a smile but smiled often. He wrapped my wrists in white gauze and believed wounds needed attention. He wrote on his hands and asked me my thoughts. His mind was restless, relentless. He didn't believe in God anymore, and yet he still wished that God would help him. And now he was mine, and I said we should not let our love be threatened. We should not let the family fall apart. We should not accept an evil we can change. We would stand up against it, would we not? Yes, we should. We would be heroes, even. Gad and I talked to Mirren and Johnny, convinced them to take action. We told each other over and over, do what you are afraid to do. We told each other over and over. We said it. We told each other we were right. Chapter 72. The plan was simple. We would find the spare jugs of gas, the ones kept in the shed for the motorboats. There were newspapers and cardboard in the mudroom. We'd build piles of recycling and soak those in gasoline. We'd soak the wood floors as well. Stand back, light a paper towel roll, and throw it. Easy. We would light every floor, every room, if possible, to make sure Claremont burned completely. Gat in the basement, me on the ground floor, Johnny on the second, and Mirren on top.
The fire department arrived really late, says Mirren.
Two fire departments, says Johnny. Woods Hole and Martha's Vineyard.
We were counting on that, I say, realizing.
We plan to call for help, says Johnny. Of course, someone had to call or it would look like arson. We were going to say we were all down at Cuddle Down, watching a movie, and you know how the trees surround it. You can't see the other houses unless you go on the roof. So it made sense that no one would have called. Those fire departments are mainly volunteers, says Gat. No one had a clue. Old wood house. Tinderbox. If the aunts and granddads suspected us, they'd never prosecute, adds Johnny. It was easy to bank on that. Of course they wouldn't prosecute. No one here is a criminal. No one is an addict. No one is a failure. I feel a thrill at what we have done. My full name is Cadence Sinclair Eastman, and contrary to the expectations of the beautiful family in which I was raised, I am an arsonist. A visionary, a heroine, a rebel, the kind of person who changes history. A criminal. But if I am a criminal, am I then an addict? Am I then a failure? My mind is playing with twists of meaning as it always does. We made it happen, I say.
Depends on what you think it is, says Mirren.
We saved the family. They started over.
Aunt Carrie's wandering the island at night, says Mirren.
My mother's scrubbing clean sinks till her hands are raw. Penny watches you sleep and writes down what you eat. They drink a fuckload. They're getting drunk until the tears roll down their faces.
When are you even at New Claremont to see that? I say.
I get up there now and then, Mirren says.
You think we solved everything, Katie, but I think it was We're here, I persist. Without that fire, we wouldn't be here. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Granddad held so much power, I say, and now he doesn't. We changed an evil we saw in the world. I understand so much that wasn't clear before. My tea is warm, the lyres are beautiful, cuddle down is beautiful. It doesn't matter if there are stains on the wall. It doesn't matter if I have headaches or Mirren is sick. It doesn't matter if Will has nightmares and Gat hates himself. We have committed the perfect crime.
Granddad only lacks power because he's demented, says Mirren. He would still torture everybody if he could.
I don't agree with you, says Gat. New Claremont seems like a punishment to me.
What? She asks.
A self-punishment. He built himself a home that isn't a home. It's deliberately uncomfortable.
Why would he do that? I ask.
Why did you give away all your belongings?
Gat asks. He is staring at me. They are all staring at me. To be charitable, I answer. To do some good in the world. There is a strange silence. I hate clutter, I say. No one laughs. I don't know how this conversation came to be all about me. None of the liars speaks for a long time. Then Johnny says,
Don't push it, Gat. And Gat says, I'm glad you remember the fire, Cadence.
And I say, Yeah, well, some of it. And Mirren says she doesn't feel well and goes back to bed. The boys and I lie on the kitchen floor and stare at the ceiling for a while longer, until I realize, with some embarrassment, that they have both fallen asleep. Chapter 73. I find my mother on the Windermere porch with the Goldens. She is crocheting a scarf of pale blue wool.
You're always at Cuddledown, Mommy complains. It's not good to be down there all the time.
Carrie went yesterday looking for something, and she said it was filthy.
What have you been doing?
Nothing. Sorry about the mess.
If it's really dirty, we can't ask Ginny to clean it. You know that, right? It's not fair to her. And Bess will have a fit if she sees it.
I don't want anyone coming in to Cuddledown. I want it just for us.
Don't worry. I sit down and pat Bosch on his sweet yellow head. Listen, Mummy.
Yes.
Why did you tell the family not to talk to me about the fire? She puts down her yarn and looks at me for a long time.
You remember the fire?
Last night, it came rushing back. I don't remember all of it, but yeah. I remember it happened. I remember you all argued and everyone left the island. I remember I was here with Gat, Mirren, and Johnny.
Do you remember anything else?
What the sky looked like, with the flames, the smell of the smoke. If Mummy thinks I am in any way at fault, she will never, ever ask me. I know she won't. She doesn't want to know. I changed the course of her life. I changed the fate of the family, the liars and I. It was a horrible thing to do, maybe, but it was something. It wasn't sitting by complaining. I am a more powerful person than my mother will ever know. I have trespassed against her and helped her too. She strokes my hair. So cloying, I pull back.
That's all? She asks.
Why doesn't anyone talk to me about it? I repeat.
Because of...
Mummy stops, looking for words. Because of your pain.
Because I have headaches? Because I can't remember my accident? I can't handle the idea that Claremont burned down?
The doctors told me not to add stress to your life, she says. They said the fire might have triggered the headaches, whether it was smoke inhalation or fear, she finishes lamely.
I'm not a child, I say. I can be trusted to know basic information about our family. All summer I've been working to remember my accident and what happened right before. Why not tell me, Mummy?
I did tell you. 2 years ago. I told you over and over, but you never remembered it the next day. And when I talked to the doctor, he said I shouldn't keep upsetting you that way, shouldn't keep pushing you.
You live with me, I cry. Don't you have any faith in your own judgment over that of some doctor who barely knows me?
He's an expert.
What makes you think I'd want my whole extended family keeping secrets from me? Even the twins, even Will and Taft, for God's sake. Rather than know what happened. What makes you think I am so fragile I can't even know simple facts?
You seem that fragile to me, says Mommy. And, to be honest, I haven't been sure I could handle your reaction.
You can't even imagine how insulting that is.
I love you, she says. I can't look at her pitying, self-justifying face any longer.
Chapter 74. Mirren is in my room when I open the door. She is sitting at my desk with her hand on my laptop.
I wonder if I could read the emails you sent me last year, she says. Do you have them on your computer?
Yeah.
I never read them, she says. At the start of the summer, I pretended I did, but I never even opened them.
Why not?
I just didn't, she says. I thought it didn't matter, but now I think it does. And look, she makes her voice light. I even left the house to do it.
I swallow as much anger as I can. I understand not writing back, but why wouldn't you even read my emails?
I know, Mirren says. It sucks, and I'm a horrible wench. Please, will you let me read them now?
I open the laptop, do a search, and find all the notes addressed to her. There are 28. I read over her shoulder. Most of them are charming, darling emails from a person supposedly without headaches.
Mirren, tomorrow I leave for Europe with my cheating father, who is, as you know, also deeply boring. Wish me luck and know that I wish I were spending the summer on Beechwood with you and Johnny and even Gat. I know, I should be over it. I am over it. I am. Off to Marbella to meet attractive Spanish boys, so there. I wonder if I can make Dad eat the most disgusting foods of every country we visit as penance for his running off to Colorado. I bet I can. If he really loves me, he will eat frogs and kidneys and chocolate-covered ants. Cadence. That's how most of them go. But a few of the emails are neither charming nor darling. Those ones are pitiful and true. Mirren. Vermont winter. Dark. Dark. Mummy keeps looking at me while I sleep. My head hurts all the time. I don't know what to do to make it stop. The pills don't work. Someone is splitting through the top of my head with an axe. A messy axe that won't make a clean cut through my skull. Whoever wields it has to hack away at my head, coming down over and over, but
not always right in the same place. I have multiple wounds. I dream sometimes that the person wielding the axe is Granddad. Other times the person is me. Other times the person is Gat. Sorry to sound crazy. My hands are shaking as I type this and the screen is too bright. I want to die sometimes. My head hurts so much. I keep writing you all my brightest thoughts, but I never say the dark ones, even though I think them all the time. So, I am saying them now. Even if you do not answer, I will know somebody heard them. And that, at least, is something. Cadence. We read all 28 emails. When she is finished, Mirren kisses me on the cheek.
I can't even say sorry, she tells me. There is not even a Scrabble word for how bad I feel.
Then she is gone. Chapter 75. I bring my laptop to the bed and create a document. I take down my graph paper notes and begin typing those and all my new memories, fast and with 1,000 errors. I fill in gaps with guesses where I don't have actual recall. The Sinclair Center for Socialization and Snacks. You won't see that boyfriend of yours again. He wants me to stay the hell away from you. We adore Windermere, don't we, Katie? Aunt Carrie crying in Johnny's windbreaker. Gat throwing balls for the dogs on the tennis court.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
The dogs! The fucking dogs! Fatima and Prince Philip! The Goldens died in that fire! I know it now, and it is my fault. They were such naughty dogs, not like Bosch, Grendel, and Poppy, whom Mummy trained. Fatima and Prince Philip ate starfish on the shore, then vomited them up in the living room. They shook water from their shaggy fur, snarfled people's picnic lunches, chewed frisbees into hunks of unusable plastic. They loved tennis balls and would go down to the court and slime any that had been left around. They would not sit when told. They begged at the table. When the fire caught, the dogs were in one of the guest bedrooms. Granddad often closed them in upstairs while Claremont was empty or at night. That way they wouldn't eat people's boots or howl at the screen door. Granddad had shut them up before he left the island, and we hadn't thought of them. I had killed those dogs. It was I who lived with dogs. I who knew where Prince Philip and Fatima slept. The rest of the liars didn't think about the Goldens, not very much anyway. Not like I did. They had burned to death. How could I have forgotten them like that? How could I have been so wrapped up in my own stupid criminal exercise, the thrill of it, my own anger at the aunties and Granddad, Fatima and Prince Philip, burning, sniffing at the hot door, breathing in smoke, wagging their tails, hopefully waiting for someone to come and get them, barking. What a horrible death for those poor, dear, naughty dogs.
Chapter 76. I run out of Windermere. It is dark out now, nearly time for supper. My feelings leak out my eyes, crumpling my face, heave through my frame as I imagine the dogs, hoping for a rescue, staring at the door as the smoke billows in. Where to go? I cannot face the liars at Cuddletown. Redgate might have Will or Aunt Carrie. The island is so fucking small, actually. There's nowhere to go. I am trapped on this island where I killed those poor, poor dogs. All my bravado from this morning. The power. The perfect crime. Taking down the patriarchy. The way we liars saved the summer idol and made it better. The way we kept our family together by destroying some part of it. All that is delusional. The dogs are dead. The stupid, lovely dogs. The dogs I could have saved.
innocent dogs whose faces lit when you snuck them a bit of hamburger or even said their names. Dogs who loved to go on boats, who ran free all day on muddy paws. What kind of person takes action without thinking about who might be locked in an upstairs room, trusting the people who have always kept them safe and loved them? I am sobbing these strange, silent sobs, standing on the walkway between Windermere and Redgate.